Enthusiasms. What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy? Baseball! A man stands alone. This is a time for what? Individual achievement. There he stands alone. But in the field, what? Part of a...
Team.
Part of one big team, right, Chris? Bats, throws, catches. Bats himself to live long day. Babe Ruth, the Ty Cobb, and so on. If he don't field, what is he?
Nothing.
Right, nothing. Sunny day, stands are full of fans. What does he have to say? I'm going out there for myself. But I get nowhere unless the team wins. All right. Welcome to the team. Unbelievable. October 21st. We haven't done a show in about 2 years. Anyway, we're still alive. I breed baseball. Nick DeToro, Chris Dickerson. It's been a while, right, Chris?
Yeah, a couple months.
Well, we were going. We were going strong, and then Chris got a call. He got a call from the Baltimore Orioles. What the hell happened? Tell me.
You know, I'm just, sitting around, living life, and, Brady called me and said they might need some help in the outfield for September as the roster's expanded, so... You know, he asked me if I was ready to play.
And that's Brady Anderson?
Brady Anderson.
The guy that hit 52 home runs?
I think it was 50 on the dot.
What's Brady's position?
He is, I believe he's a vice president of baseball operations.
Oh, with the Orioles?
Yeah.
So where were you when you got the call? Your agent?
I was in L.A. I was actually in the office. And Brady called me, asked me if I was ready to play. I asked him if it was, he wanted to play, you know, Sunday softball league or... You know, wanted to go, you know, shoot some hoops, and he asked me if I was ready to play baseball. I wasn't sure what type of baseball he was talking about, but so I went out and met him. You know, he wanted to see if how my shoulder was and see how I was running, and we went and worked out in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, I was out in Baltimore, you know, hanging with the guys back at the stadium and working out, you know, hitting, trying to get myself together. And, the rest is that. Went to Bowie to get some at-bats.
Where is that?
That is in Maryland, 30 minutes outside of Baltimore. So double A, being around a bunch of kids again, being back on the field. So I truly felt like the old man.
Did you miss it?
22, 23. And surprisingly, I thought I was over it. And when I came back, when I stepped on the field for that first game, I realized that, you know, that I definitely missed it.
Yeah, well, it's like, man, like anything. It's what you love, you know what I mean? And then you get that taste again. You get that hunger, right? So it's that line, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's one thing if I just went out there and bombed. Yeah, that would have been made it easier to be like, all right, well, you know, I came back, gave it a shot, but I sucked. But, you know, I actually did pretty well, so it's kind of opened my eyes to, for opportunities the next year. So we'll see what happens. Who knows? But until that time, it's you and me doing podcasts.
Well, I hope you get back. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, this is you're not an old man. You're not over the hill. I just wrote a pilot called Over the Hill. I mean, you know, because I'm 54. Not that I'm over the hill, but... When you hit your 50s, you just feel like, what's next? 60? You know what I mean? I don't know. I actually got that in a monologue, but it's true. You know, I mean, you got time. You know, it's never over till it's over. Sometimes you think I'm done, but you're not done. And if you still got the desire and you still got the skill, I mean, you're a young man. You're 30 what? 34. 34. You know, I mean, there are guys that play into their 40s. So you had some injuries. You haven't, you know, maybe a couple of breaks haven't gone your way, but... If you still got the skill and you still got the stomach for it, I think you should, you know, revisit it in the spring because, you know, it's Major League Baseball. There's nothing like it, right?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, who knows? Just go down, might go down as a Julio Franco, you know, just be hanging around until 46 and just people are just, you know.
Right.
I could be the guy that you're looking at your TV and you're like, how is this guy still playing? Get off my TV.
Yeah,
that's
but,
how I felt about Julio in times. I was like, but in part admiration, the fact that he could still perform mm-hmm. at that age.
Right.
Jamie Moyer, same thing. Mm-hmm. The ageless wonder, you know, throwing up 81.
Right.
You know, fastball 81.
Bartolo Colon. right?
Oh, Bartolo, the Buddha. He's the best. He's the best.
You gotta love him.
You have to. It's a shame that people love him strictly on appearance, but they don't really know, like, Bartolo, the teammate. Like, he's one of the best teammates you'll ever have. He's also one of the most athletic pitchers in the league. Like, it's no you know, mystery that he pounces off the mound. Like, he's a great athlete.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, sometimes it's misleading when a guy is, you know, you might be a kind of a chunky, overweight guy, but some of those guys are the best athletes.
Yeah, Lance Berkman was the best.
Yeah. Man, yeah, who was that
Puma,
great?
The Puma.
The Puma, yeah. And the guy who used to pinch hit, was it Matt Stairs? That guy made a career out of being like a, you know, he looked like a guy, you know, eating a Big Mac, and he'd come in, man. He was, like, incredible. So, you know, I mean, even if you're not a starter, but if you could find your niche and say, hey, there's always guys on the roster that, you know, help winning teams. You see all the good teams. They got guys on the bench that can come in and do a job. It's not always just the stars. Look at guys like David Ross. Look at these guys, like I was mentioning before, like Mike Napoli. I mean, he's a...
Juan Uribe.
These guys are winners, man. These guys are winners. These guys have, like, a winning... Everywhere they go, they just seem...
They literally come onto a team and they start winning.
I know.
Napoli to Texas, started winning.
Mm-hmm.
Napoli to Boston, started winning.
Right.
Napoli and Cleveland, started winning. Uribe, San Francisco, started winning. Los Angeles, started winning.
Winning.
Cleveland, started winning.
I know.
It's not a joke. And Johnny Gomes was the same way.
Johnny Gomes was one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, but you know, it's been a great postseason so far. I've been having a lot of fun, and the Yankees made a great run. But you know, Gary Sanchez, we're talking about it. What a great looking catcher. But it's the postseason. I've been enjoying it, even though the Yankees came up short. I'm still in a rage about the Andrew Miller trade, because the guy was just an incredible weapon that I think the Yankees should have held on to. But look what he's done for Cleveland. Incredible. I don't think they would have won both these series without him. I mean, they have a good bullpen. Shore is good, and Cody Allen is good. But now with Miller in the mix, they almost got like this this Kansas City Royal thing, where when you got that three-headed monster, you know, nobody has incredible starting pitching. They have one or two guys. Look at the Dodgers. They got Kershaw. And after Kershaw, you know, they can be beat. That's it. I mean, you know, I mean, the Cubs have decent. Lester was good last night. They have a few other guys. I mean, but when you got those extra guys, I think they got a shot. I mean, it isn't over. I think Kershaw is going to win Game 6. And I think, you know, it'll be a scary Game 7 for the Cubs and the Billy Goat. How do you feel about Game 6?
Man, well, I've been pretty much right on. And I think this goes back to, you know, me, you know, trying to get into, you know, broadcasting. I seem to have secretly in my mind proved that I am quite the analyst the last couple of days. But, yeah, with Urias, I agree that it would be difficult on the Cubs, considering they, you know, they hit 188 against lefties, but given the youth and being in that type of situation, I felt like he might have given it up, and sure enough, he did get up the four earned runs. But Rich Hill, being a true veteran out there, gave us a huge start, six innings pitch, especially coming off a game which was really big, because Kershaw going seven saves the bullpen. You know, in a team where this is one of the first times where the bullpen has thrown more innings than the starters. And, you know, basically it comes down to how long can you keep that whole shtick up with, you know, these bullpen guys coming in, throwing two, three innings. You saw what happened with, you know, with Jansen having to come in three innings, which was unheard of, using your closer for three innings, let alone a closer that was just, I felt like he was coming up with stuff. You know, cutter, slider, curveball, change. It was
nasty,
pretty impressive.
Right?
But you're only going to get away with that for so long. So.
Here's the scary thing for the Cub fans, and I'm not trying to scare them, because I think they're gonna win this series. I do. But the scary thing is Kershaw's lights out. He goes seven, maybe eight, you know, depending on how many pitches he throws. They win. And then he's lurking in Game 7 again. Like, you know, that's like the scary thing for the Cubs, to feel like, oh my God, if we get to a seventh game, all right, we're okay. But Kershaw's out there for, like, you know, three outs or whatever. You know, if Rich Hill pitches another game, I mean, that's the scary thing about a seventh game. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. But then, you go right back to him having to come back on short rest. You know, Indians have been done for 2 days. They're at home. You saw on MLB Network, they're just having to work out. Those guys are resting. This goes 7 games. That's one day closer that they don't get off, that they're going to have to turn right back around. If Kershaw has to come out of the bullpen, he's already going to be pitching on short rest. He's going to come out of the bullpen if needed, especially in that 7th game. And then you're looking at, you're going to be scrambling to find another guy because, you know, Kershaw's been, you know, thrown twice in the last 2 days already.
Yeah.
So as much, you know, Dodgers fan till I die, and but it's gonna be tough.
Well, at least they won a round.
We gotta score runs. Yeah. But we can't play. They can't play that lethargic baseball like last night. It was embarrassing.
No, they were flat.
They started leaving the stadium and they started leaving the bar. You know, when after that, what play was it? Oh, it was the Justin Turner, the ground ball to first that was beat out by Bryant. That was kind of slow, kind of lackadaisical.
Yeah.
Then the drop ball in the corner, the throw not being home, Gonzalez with the snag in the hole,
mm-hmm.
and then the head first slide,
It was just a snowball effect. Yeah, I mean, what about Javi Baez, man? He's been impressive in the postseason. I have always liked this guy, but he's been their MVP. I mean, he was dynamite in the first series. Against the Giants. I mean, that was a huge, you know, the Giants were scary because if they would have had Bumgarner in game, but, the, you know, great comeback in that 4th game. That was a fun series. He's been fun to watch, man, because he's great defensively. And, you know, when he comes up there, he's not afraid, you could tell. And then finally, Addison Russell, the kid that felt good for him. I mean, the Cubs just, you know, Billy Goat or no Billy Goat, they just seem to have that. Something is in their favor that they're going to get to the World Series this year. I mean, not knocking the Dodgers. The Dodgers did win a round, which was good for them. I just think they're still missing a little, you know, I don't see them quite all the way there. They're coming, you know, with Seager, and they got a nice mix with some of these young guys. And I just like, you know, they have, other than Kershaw, you know, look, they pulled Maeda after a few. I mean, that was a little quick, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, you got to stick with them a little bit. You know, they overmanage these guys. I mean, I've even seen Joe Maddon, some of these guys, they just overmanage.
It's true, that 3 1/3 where it's kind of like you're on that brink where you don't want it to tumble out of control, but it might be too early. But, you know, it's all hindsight 2020. Because you can fast forward to the Washington game where, you know, Max goes 7 innings strong. They did not hit one ball hard until the Peterson home run.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled him. But in that case, like, that's a deciding game. I feel like Dusty might have pulled him early. You know, kind of, I think a lot of people were shocked that you take him out and go to the bullpen. Especially, I mean, it was just bloop hit, broken bat, flare. But yeah. Hindsight, we're all experts looking back. We're like, we should have pulled him. But, you know.
When you're in the moment, it's not so easy. You know, when you're a fan and you're watching it, it's... It's very, you know, you can criticize all you want. It's just like we talked about Buck Showalter. But that one, I mean, when you got a guy like Britton and he's that good and there is no tomorrow, as much as I love Buck, I mean, and I know you love him, you play for him, so and I'm a fan of his, but I just don't understand that thinking. I don't understand, like, how do you not use that guy? Like, yeah, he was okay, Buck goes, he's all right. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't justify that guy not getting in the game when it's a 2-2. If you go down with your... I mean, the guy came in, he threw, like, batting practice pitches. Ubaldo. I don't get... Oh, ball. Come on, man. Those were fat pitches. I mean, you don't want to lose that way. That's a horrible way to lose. Cleveland's been a great story. But I think this is the nucleus. And Francona. I'll tell you, Francona, man, he's one of the best there is. I mean, look, it might be Francona against Theo Epstein. Like, two teams, you know, he broke two curses, but that's going to be an interesting... I think that'd be a fun World Series because Cleveland, a great city. The Cavs won. They haven't won in 68 years or whatever it is, or 48. I don't know. You know, the Cubs haven't won in 2000. I mean, you know, two starving franchises. I'm over-exaggerating. But, you know, I think two good baseball cities... you know, and the bullpen could be the difference. I mean, I could see Cleveland, you know, if they keep it slow scoring, they keep it a bullpen game, Cleveland might have a good chance to win the whole damn thing. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, this is definitely the Cubs. The pressure's on the Cubs by far. But I don't know. What's your gut? What's your gut?
I think the Cubs, I think the Cubs are going to prevail. So I think it's going to be a Cubs-Cleveland World Series. And, yeah, as much as, you know, I don't want Cleveland's head to get too big. You know, I played there. They got their championship. I don't think they should get two. But, man, I don't know. I think it's kind of like the lure. I think it's kind of the lure of the whole, the curse of the Billy Goat. I feel like that's something that's cool. It should go on forever.
Me too. Me too. I think it should almost, like, continue because, you know, like when the Red Sox won, even though, you know, the idiots or whatever, and it came back and, you know, I don't know, maybe A-Rod broke the curse. I don't know who did it. But, you know, they lost something. The Red Sox becoming, like, winners. They won three times in this, you know. There's that lovable loser. There's that tag that you love to keep that going. And even though Cleveland has been tagged kind of a loser, but it's not as bad as the Cubs. You know, the Cubs still have that, you know, there's something to fight for. So if they win, you know, all of a sudden they become like the Red Sox again. And maybe they'll become the team of the next decade. I think I kind of almost would like to see them, you know, come up a little short again.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it's like, it's kind of like a, you know, it's a script. It's like a thing of legend, like a team that hasn't won in 100 years and a team that's, you know, starved a franchise, you know, 48 years. It's one of those things, but if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, what Theo Epstein has done with that team and what they've done in Cleveland with the minor league system, the scouting, that's what building a championship team is all about. It's not about putting together superpower free agents, but they have like the perfect mix. And I think that is where ultimately, you know, everybody should tip their cap is what they've done with these kids. Addison Russell is 22 years old. He's Baez, Rizzo, these guys are 23, 24 years old. And for what they've done throughout the season and what they have the chance to accomplish is incredible. And, you know, I remember watching that the Cleveland organization build these guys and for, you know, being there in 14 and seeing where they've come from, that nucleus, they all came up through the minor league system together. Right. And so that's really special to see a team who started out in A-ball together go to a World Series and then sprinkle in a couple, you know, key veterans along the way is amazing. So,
yeah, I agree.
For that reason, you know, it doesn't matter. I think they're both well-deserving. I think this is how baseball should be played. I think this is how baseball, you know, teams should be constructed. And they play the game the right way. They're both exciting. They're both going to take the extra base. Mm-hmm. They both got, you know, just exciting players or, you know, come up with clutch hits.
Yeah, and, they're fun to root for. You're right.
And if they're truly teams that take every, you know, to win a championship, everybody's going to be utilized. But, you know, I don't know. It's just something about, you know, Cleveland and, you know, what they've done in Chicago. So
I know. No, I can't agree. I can't agree more. They built these teams the right way. They put a good, you know, nucleus, a good chemistry, a good foundation that both these teams are a good mix of mostly young guys and with a couple of key veterans. But, man, I just, you know, that's the way you, with good managers, you know, both likable guys. I mean, I'm a baseball guy. And Frank Cohn, man, that guy is, you know, Madden's a good guy. He hasn't won it all yet. But you're right.
Madden is the rookie whisperer.
It's
he does with young guys is amazing. What he did in Tampa with those guys, I mean, you have so many, you know, so many consecutive, you know, first and second picks over the years. And to take those guys, mold them. You know, mold that clubhouse mm-hmm. and made them winners in 08 and, you know, really started kind of, that winning culture over mm-hmm. there in what was once a miserable organization. So that's incredible. And then for him to come over and do what he's done with a bunch of young kids.
I know, it's pretty fast.
Madden truly, he's the rookie wizard.
But he's a cool guy. I mean, look, I just think, you know, your personality, you become, when you know, it rubs off on you. When you're around a guy like that, you're around a guy like, there's a few guys that you just know. I don't know them, but you could just see their body language, and you could tell these are guys that, you know, people love playing for, you know, and they just have that persona. It's like, if you have a great director, you have a guy that's like, you know, he's not a complete, you know, jerk off, and he's not always trying to be, that he's encouraging you, you know, that you go, wow, this guy's going to, I'm able to relax. I'm able to, because baseball, you got to relax. You got to, like, you could see these guys pressing. And then, you know, Madden, I mean, he's the kind of guy that you go, I would go like to have a beer with him, hang out with him. he just looks like a good dude. And the same thing with Francona. These guys just, their body language reeks. Like, you know, these are guys that, you know, there's a reason why people like them. There's a reason why they're winning. All right, you know, he was with the Rays, and, you know, they came close, but he turned that whole franchise around. And what he's done here in, what, 3 years, 4 years? I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, last year you could tell they weren't quite ready. They ran into the Mets. They were a little flat. But this year you could see they're coming and they're close, and they might, you know, they mean, either way, it's a win-win for baseball. This is a good, you know, baseball's got a lot of good young stars. I was at the All-Star game this year and at the Derby. I mean, it's exciting to see these guys because, you know, other than being a Yankee fan, oh, we got guys now. We got our Gary Sanchez, so I'm excited, too, about him. I'm still mad about Miller. But then, you know, I'm just going to keep saying that. But it's all right. I'll get over it. But, hey, listen, have you been watching the funniest post-game show on the face of the earth? I'm in love with it. It's almost like a setting.
The Fox post-game?
The FS1. Tell me you have not been watching it.
I'll be honest.
Oh, my God.
For the fear, to be honest.
It's hysterical.
I don't even know if I can comment, but the guys that are on there, I've tuned out. So, but what I've heard.
Come on, you're missing how funny this is.
I've tuned out, but I've had buddies text me, like, are you watching this post game? It's hilarious. I'm like, no, I knew.
Chris, it's hysterical. Not hilarious.
Yeah.
It's funnier than anything on MLB Network. I mean, this mix of Pete Rose, who looks like, I don't know what he looks like, with A-Rod, who looks like almost a mannequin.
Robotic.
And then Big Frank Thomas, Big Hurt, and then that Kevin Burkhardt guy. It is must-see TV. It's almost like, you know, watching Hillary and Trump. I mean, it's like, it's become a very funny skit. I mean, they do say some things that are, you know, that are credible, but it's just so funny. It's so entertaining that you, after the game, you know, it's just, you know, Pete is just funny because he looks like, he looks like a guy, you know, who's just Joe Blow driving a truck. I mean, I don't know. You know, he's a hoot. And then he's saying guys' names when it comes to commercial. He's going saying, like, Steve Garvey. He's, like, saying, Ron Say. Now he's got A-Rod doing it. Oh, my God. A-Rod laughing with that phony laugh. I mean, yesterday Pete said something about, oh, it was funny. He said something about, who's pressing a little bit, Rizzo. So he said, you know, he probably, Chris Bryant or whatever inspired Rizzo or whatever, because people need Rizzo. You know, Rizzo is a big part, and maybe he was pressing the guy. He's another guy he's just easy to root for. And he said, like, you had a number two, Derek Jeter. And A-Rod, like, his face just dropped. He didn't know what to say. You had to see this. He was like, I had Derek Jeter. I had, and he's trying to sound really intelligent. Derek Jeter.
With
the perfect turn. And Ken Griffey. Not to knock Ken Griffey, but come on. Just give Jeter his props, man.
One time.
Just one time, man. You know, just drop it. We know you're a better player. We know you're a Hall of Famer. Juice or no juice. You're a great player. But, you know, drop the stick up your, you know. I mean, come on, you know. And Pete, like, you know, Pete was honest enough to say, hey, you know, you played with one of the greats, number two. And like, he didn't enjoy it. He didn't enjoy it. Like, it's like, when are you going to just loosen up, man? When are you ever going to be, stop looking in the mirror? You know, but it's still so funny. Yeah. I mean.
I flipped it on one time. And I think Alex was doing a quick portion. But
he's not bad. But he's just trying so hard. He's trying so hard.
It's perfect.
And he's posing. It is beautiful.
Perfect, it's the perfect microphone hold, the perfect turn, it's the perfect hand gesture.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's almost like somebody has a remote control. It's,
yeah.
It's so odd. No, it is
because it's almost so like, if you had an actor play him, you'd have to get someone who was brilliant to convey how like...
That is almost verbatim what my buddy sent me in a text message. He was like, it looks like...
It's almost
like...
He's
done this before. Like, it's he takes an acting school.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just right. It's
but he is
so
starting
right.
to loosen up.
His act is like, it's so up his
alley. It's perfect.
It's perfect for
him. It's perfect. And I tell you, he's got the perfect co-pilot. And last night they had a picture of a plane that said A-Rod and Pete Rose was in front of the plane. I mean, you know, listen, baseball's got to be fun too, man. You got to laugh. You got to loosen up. That's why, I mean, like, you know, we do this podcast. I mean, there's a lot of stiff cronies. It's still the greatest game in the world. I don't care what anybody says. You know, but they got to have fun too. And there's a place for a guy like Pete Rose. I mean, and maybe he found it on FS1. I mean, I'm telling you, this is like a Saturday Night Live. You couldn't write it. You couldn't write it. That's how funny. My friend of mine who's a sports writer said, yeah, it's incredible, but it's real. And I'm watching it. And then the Big Hurt, you know. Oh, man, it's pretty great. But so, all right, listen, man. It was I've enjoyed the postseason. I've enjoyed it so much. I mean, what'd you think of the Texas Blue Jays series? Did you see that one?
No, I really didn't. Yeah, I checked listen. Out.
Yeah, that one went quick. And even the Cleveland Red Sox. I've enjoyed the Blue Jays getting beat just because they're just big mouths. I'm glad they lost.
Yeah, I checked out. I love Kipnis.
I do. I like Kipnis.
I love Kip. I mean, that just, it was so fitting for him to say, and it just kind of.
You played for both these teams, right?
Yeah. So it's been cool. So I know the personalities of the team and the guys and where the context of these are. And I
said, how bad is that? The ultimate, if you get back, I mean, just for you, playoffs? Just like, no, playoffs are the world. I mean,
playoffs is amazing.
I mean, you tasted that, right?
My first year in New York when we went to Detroit.
Is that in 12?
That was in 11.
11?
We started in Baltimore in 12.
Right.
But 11 in Detroit,
yeah.
Opening of, you know, NLCS, you know, ALCS was, or DS. And with the, you know, 55,000 white towels, just kind of like this deafening noise. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It's an experience for sure.
It is, right?
That you'll never forget.
I would have bought.
Also, it's one of those things like if you've lost in the playoffs before, that is something you never want to experience. Like watching the team celebrate. I remember that last at bat, Alex facing Valverde and just getting, you know, blown away by the three fastballs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it's just. Just the heart, yeah. Heart sinks.
Just sinks, right?
Yeah, sinks. And it's just, you know, it's a group thing because it's everybody is on the edge of their seat and there's this connection to the fans and what it means to everybody. And then that final out happens and it's just the air
goes out.
It's an odd experience when something like that happens. But the excitement, the energy that goes into it is amazing. There's nothing else like it than postseason baseball.
Yeah, it's the greatest. It might even be better than the World Series because the World Series is great, but it's almost like, I'm not going to say anticlimactic, but it's the journey to get there is something. I mean, you got to finish the job, but yeah. I think you're right. This postseason is the greatest. I mean, my greatest memories is just the playoffs. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a whole lot of Cleveland Indians fans outside of Cleveland, but I feel like this year that viewership will recover from the last couple years because I think, from what I understand, the viewership for the World Series has been on a steady decline.
It's going to come up this year.
But it's definitely if Chicago goes,
yes, the nation will be watching.
The nation will be watching.
And that'll help Cleveland.
With the GOAT.
Yeah. What's your pick? Cubs, Cleveland. Give me your pick.
Well, we're jumping to conclusions here.
All right.
We're
assuming, let's wait.
I got my Dodgers hat on.
The Dodgers could still sneak in.
I see you wearing the LA hat.
All right. You know, well, the next one.
We haven't had a World Series here, you know, since 88.
I know. That's what my son said.
It's about time.
It's about time.
It's about time. You know, yeah. You know, I was 5 years old. I was on the Cub Scout trip in Griffith Park when Gibson hit the home run. We were eating peach cobbler and ice cream.
I lost money on that series.
Literally jump through the ceiling of this trailer where we're all meeting. So,
yeah,
you know, for my dad would love it.
You might have to wait, Chris. Yeah. But, all right. Hey, we'll talk about that after the Cubs and the Dodgers finish, and then we'll resume. All right. Great show. Great to be back with you, Chris Dickerson, in the house.
Good to be back.
All right. Later.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.